Akasunas Shiri. Akasunas Shiri.
Men of war, throw your guns down. May we never hear a mother's cry as she buries her soldier boy. Peace is in a handshake as we await the golden dawn. Peace is in a flower as she awakes to the morning sun. We look to the starry sky when we sing our songs of Sirsha. Let there be peace in our hearts.
She Akasunas Shiri. Akasunas Shiri.
Yes, let there be peace. And if you can say it in Irish, go ahead and do it. I will refrain. That's Maz O'Flaherty from Dingle, Ireland. And we've got Ireland and Dingle on the brain right now. Let's see, what's today's day? Ah, yes, the 13th. Four more days. And if you choose, you may wear green. Of course, you can wear green any day because we live in the green Pacific Northwest. This is Carol here with Arts Live and Local. Very glad to be here with you. And, oh, gosh, it just keeps getting worse. So I will just send out demands for sanity, ceasefires, and a few other things. You can use your imagination and healing throughout the world and all the conflagrations, and right here at home, where people are being made miserable by the violence, physical, mental, emotional. Sending special healing to Hope and Gina, to Issa and Jan and Lulu, Hamp, Janet, Noel, Luann, Karen, Jean and Carl, Tom, Steve, Ted, Mary Beth, Marietta Riva, Kate, Lottie, the family of rescue swimmer Tyler Jaggers, Sue, Peter Hutala, and Mika, and Country Joe McDonald, who visited us some years ago. Thank you, Gordo, who brought him here, and a whole bunch of other incredible musicians in the port. Hey, it's stormy weather. That's how it was then, too. Happy birthday to Shortwave. It's their 6th. Go visit them Saturday especially, right here in Astoria. To my beloved friends, Michelle in Southern California, and Tony on the island of Harris, Isle of Harris, I should say. My friends for 60-some years from the days in Turkey. To Ruth Boliger, Gloria Berg, and to Zoe Fenton. Wow, can't believe it. Okay, folks, I've got some amazing guests here, and I know they're amazing because I know them, and I think many of you know them too. Susie Brown is here, as she has been. Actually, they're all extremely veterans of KMUN, especially the women. Susie has been doing theater probably all her life, but in our community, teaching at Napa for 30 years, and then starting several theater groups here in town, Peer Pressure Productions, and 1015, and now she and friends have a new group. Is there a name to this new group?
Well, people have been calling it Astoria Readers Theater, and it's really just adept actors who read well, sharing the good words of various playwrights.
Okay, and I would say they're more than adept. They are fabulous, including yourself, but you're not acting this time. Whoops, you're not acting, you are directing.
I'm acting like a director, yes.
my other guests are acting on stage, and that would be Bonnie Lively, whose voice you hear often, very often, right here on KMUN. Fortunately for us, because she has great taste in music. Hi, Bonnie.
Oh, hi, Carol. Thank you for that. So,
keep talking. Your mic isn't.
Yeah. Well, we're here to talk about Outside Mullingar, which is the name of the play.
Yeah. Try that.
Okay.
Yeah. Mic 2 is not happening.
All right. I'll start over.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Outside Mullingar is an Irish play that Susie had us do about, I don't know, a year and a half ago, Susie? Probably in the fall of...
2 Septembers ago.
Yeah, right.
I thought it was COVID time.
No, it was after that.
Okay.
And we did it in a very small venue on 10th Street.
Right.
And really, we packed them in, but we could only get like 15 people in there.
Right.
But it was really, really well received. People loved the play. And so Susie's been looking for an opportunity to bring it back ever since. So she touched us and said, hey, are you willing to do it again? And of course, our two male actors were not available again. Some of them moved away, some too busy. So we have two new male actors, and Jason is with us today.
Jason Hussa is one of them.
Yeah.
And the other is Paul Duber?
Yes.
I mean, like, were you looking for musicians? How did you do that? Two amazing musicians in addition to being actors.
That's how the universe conspires to assist you.
Isn't that wonderful? I was so excited when I saw the picture in Coast Weekend. I mean, I know they're both musicians, but I thought this was Reader's Theater. And then I see them both holding their guitars. Read on.
There is a little musical element to it, but basically it's a Reader's Theater. Mm-hmm. And
was it created to be presented that way, or
no? No. Okay. It just sort of happened that way. Mm-hmm. There's a reference to a song in the script,
but I mean,
and so we kind of expanded that idea into, you know, making it part of the play.
Presented as a regular play.
Right.
Yes.
Not readers.
Right.
Okay.
No, it's presented as a Reader's Theater. It's not a mounted play.
Here.
Yes.
But when John Patrick Shanley started it.
Oh, well, I'm sure it's been mounted somewhere.
Originally.
Okay. Yeah. No, we're doing just the fact that there's a small cast, 4 people. Mm-hmm. And it takes place in one room, basically, and an outside part of the same house. And so it's really easy to picture that. And that's what Reader's Theater does. It sort of allows your imagination to go wild with the picture. Mm-hmm. And our job is to show you the picture. And what's really fun about
it. Now, Bonnie, you've done both Readers and lots of staged theater as well.
Right. Lots.
Yeah.
But Jason has too.
Well, yeah. I'm getting
it. And Paul. Paul and I have been on stage many times.
Talk about organic. Did we talk about organic? Well, the universe presenting. I did not plan it this way because I didn't know you were performing in both Kala on the 19th and 20th. And then you're going to the Coaster on the 25th and 26th. Well, for people who, and I hope all of you, are sticking around, audience, you're going to meet other people performing at the Coaster tonight. One of them being Mick Alderman.
Yes.
So it's like one big happy family here, but I decided to separate them because I'm not sure they play well together. let's have a word from Jason. Have you done Reader's Theater as well?
Hiya, Carol. Thanks for having us on.
I love having you.
Oh, you're so kind. Yes, indeed. I have had the great good fortune of doing some Reader's Theater, including the winter show that we did Jacob Marley's Last Chance.
Oh, God, that was incredible. Yes.
Well, thank you. Hold for applause. It was written by a gentleman down in Cannon Beach, and Susie directed that one as well.
Right.
It was just such a great opportunity to kind of re-engage with the community.
We've been
raising a kid and then kind of at the point where it's the boulder running down the hill, and we're trying to keep up with it, not be rolled over by it. And
so yes, the husses are on the move again.
Panicked screaming running after that show, I think it was even as we were tearing down the set or getting the costumes back to where they needed to go, Susie said, "I think I may have something else if you're interested." And I was like, "Sure." And I didn't even know what it was, but she said, "Yeah, Nancy and Bonnie are in." And I was like, "I'll do it." Yeah, I have no idea. I didn't read the script until our first read through.
Wise move.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
We've got an amazing theater community in this county, actually, and 3 of them are sitting in the room with me, actually. But there are lots more as well. We're very fortunate. So I think I read that, and maybe Bonnie would be, Bonnie and Susie can talk to this, is if it's making a difference having 2 new cast members, 2 different cast members.
Yes. You want to talk to that? Okay. I definitely feel that. The energy, I think, you know, there's a chemistry between cast people. Not that the others were, I mean, I don't want to say they were wonderful, but Jason, Paul, Nancy, and me, we've all acted together.
Yeah.
And so it became a chemistry that just kind of made it a lot more fun. And I don't know. And, you know, it's just something that happens when you're in a cast. You know, you get along and everything's fine and dandy and the production is wonderful. But there's always some little piece of chemistry that happens yeah. between a cast that just escalates that
right.
and makes everybody come up a level a little mm-hmm. higher. So nice. That's kind of what I think has happened here.
We're having
so much fun.
I bet you are. I don't want to be a fly on the wall. I want to be sitting right there in the middle of it. And I will be when it opens. Susie, how about from the directing point of view?
I very much enjoyed the first go around with everyone. But when we first met for the read through the second time, the chemistry was electric. And there are a couple of reasons why. One is that they all know each other. But the other one is this play is about family, mm-hmm. and this group acts very much yeah. like a family.
Yeah.
So from my point of view, it made many things come off the page much more alive than the first mm-hmm. time around, because it was built into their souls,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So you've got the script, the staging, the entire atmosphere, and of course, the players, but then there's that extra level, as Bonnie said, that I can just imagine. So what are you doing with the music?
Yeah, the music is a really, really fun wrinkle to it. As mm-hmm. as Bonnie mentioned, there is a song, Wild Mountain Time, that is mm-hmm. mentioned lyrically in the, and some lyrics are cited in the piece, and Susie said, you know, I'm thinking about, what do you think about maybe doing that song? And we weren't like, well, maybe. We were completely
yes.
gung-ho. Like, I think the plan originally was for us to do that one song, and we were just like, oh, should we do this? I mean, can we play during intermission? Can we do, you know, it was just everything. I think, and Susie said, well, there is a second song that we could add that we were like, yes, yes, yes. So I think the music sort of built in organically. It fit willingness on mm-hmm. our part. I've actually never played music with Paul before, and so this is enormous for me. Like, I am so excited about this
nice.
And was so thrilled that that opportunity presented itself. I'm very grateful for Susie for allowing
us
to do that.
Well, I mean, it is kind of magical, and you sort of have to take advantage of people, don't you, Susie? You get a couple of terrific musicians. Wild Mountain Time, I understand, was the name of the 2020 movie version of this Outside Mullingar. And how could you not? I mean, come on. And if Bonnie, if you want to get up and do a jig, that's not. Maybe. Not this time.
Well, Bonnie and Nancy also sang.
I hope
yes.
so.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Again, as I say, you've got the makings. You don't want to throw it away. What is, can you give us a bit of the story? Whose point of view do we want?
Absolutely.
Start from the kid.
The community will come in and we'll do it. It's an incredible show that really deals with a lot of change and a lot of things that have been fixed in stone from the beginning. And it uses the passage of time, as, you know, things do, to get that point across. There are, you know, we lose some characters through the course of the play that start out with us. Characters take on different roles that they had. But basically, there are a lot of rites of passages on almost every character's,
nice.
I think actually in every character's front, of people growing and changing, growing together, growing apart, and then together. It's intertwining. A really fascinating and very rich study of people and love and family and duty and practicality and dreams. There's just, it's just a pretty incredible confection that Shandy made for us.
And their connection to the land.
Yes.
That is a very large theme in this. Yeah.
Is Mullingar a place?
Yes.
Do you know where?
It's about 40 miles out of Dublin.
Oh, okay. Speaking of, there you go. Did you purposely time this around St. Patrick's Day?
I thought March would be a good time to do it for Americans.
Okay, there you go. And
I just want to say that this play is funny, but it's also poignant.
Yes.
So come with a little box of Kleenex, but you will laugh and you will cry. And I love plays like that.
Me too.
That give all the emotions around the bend. And that's what's so beautiful about the script, is that it has the ability to make you laugh and to make you cry. And so it's a very, very rich story. And
well, I'm looking forward
really
to it.
Enjoy it.
I'm sure everyone is. Again, this is Outside Mullingar by John Patrick Shanley, who wrote, I believe, Doubt?
Yes.
Which, that was killer.
He also won an Oscar for Moonstruck.
Moonstruck, yeah.
And I accidentally happened upon that on Turner Classic Movies the other night.
Oh, cool.
And it was like, oh, my gosh, because they're doing a whole month of Oscar things.
Nice. It's a staged reading, and you can be sure you will be getting 150% from this cast and this director. It's happening at Kala, K-A-L-A, which means fish, in Astoria. That's on Marine Drive between 10th and 11th on March 19th, which is a Thursday. Okay, folks, get that down. Thursday and Friday, the 19th and 20th. And then the next week on a Wednesday and Thursday, the 25th and 26th at the Coaster Theater. So I look forward to seeing you there. You guys break your legs. Susie? No. Okay. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Carol.
Thanks, great. Carol. Thanks for having us.
KMUN Astoria. And don't forget, folks, is it, oh my gosh. Yes, it's next, a week from today is our membership drive. That means you can do it right now and get it over with. Go to KMUN.org and push the donate button and feel good. Or you can wait till next week, anytime, the 17th through the 24th. That's Tuesday to Tuesday. If you happen to want to call in on Arts, the 20th, please do that too. Love to hear from you. Here's some more music from Ireland.
Shoulder fleet in the far again, our soul again. The birth McGee, the status shell, fair meant in my soul. Down the shallow that the marvel lane. Is cargo huala nachtara e kohmole karamor donin do kalhas on tarochche do frab mohri lahtirshe devling anti shik halama. Shall the shoeling it is all about all right and spot is asana August for sorry Shanam od laura Barul sagos tarve Nos mo vichon avasa Ke tarir sre Bochrech mochu anas nafsu
This book, this song translates. It's called The Song of Books. And this is Alice Kennedy, a friend of Ma's Flaherty, who recommended. I was in Ma's little bookstore in Dingle, and she recommended this album. I'm so glad. And the story, ironically, tells of the poet Thomas Rua. Oh, what would be Sullivan in this country, but his lament for the loss of a boatload of his beloved books as they were being transported to Valentia Island from the mainland in South Kerry. He had been appointed as a teacher on the island. And as this plays, I think of the tragedy of losing all one's belongings and people's lives as well. From Alice Kennedy. Yes, another Irish song, because after all, it is the time. And because they make really gorgeous music. And speaking of gorgeous, I have two local artists here with me. One is a visual artist, and that would be V. Lind, who is an AVA board member. That's Astoria Visual Arts. And also an art maker, as well as the organizer of the show that is up and ready to open tomorrow during Art Walk at the AVA. Hi, V.
Hello.
Now, just a quickie, you've never been on this show.
I haven't, but you're very familiar to me. 45 years ago is when we first met, part of this creative community.
That's correct. We go a long way back. And have you been on KMUN?
No, this is my first time.
How about on any other radio station?
Not that I remember.
Okay. So, folks, we have here a triple virgin who is now, thanks to KMUN, a part of the radio family as well. Congratulations. Now, in the writing department, do you also do visual arts?
I do, yeah.
Do?
Oh. I do a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Some painting and drawing.
That's what I was thinking in the back of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, speaking of Irish.
Oh, very.
Cama O'Connor is here. Yeah. And excuse me, but going back 1 week, I had someone named Izzy O'Connor. Right here.
You sure did. I'm a very proud mom of that particular human.
I saw the play. It's the Astoria High School Theater production of Beetlejuice Jr., the musical. And I didn't quite admit this to the students, but I never saw the stuff. I knew nothing. So when they said who they were playing, I didn't know who it was. Yeah, well, she's the star, one of the stars, and does a great job. And so Kama is, in addition to what we've talked about, is also the faculty advisor for RAIN magazine at Clatsop Community College.
Yes.
And now I'm going to let V tell you what this show, and I've got two names for it. Courage, Artists and Writers Face Their Fears, and Face Your Fear, Find Your Courage. Yes, they're the same, and yet they're different. Mm-hmm. So tell us about this play, this sure. Exhibition, and mm-hmm. where the concept came from.
Yes. So last year, I was in the packed audience where RAIN magazine poets were reading their works that were in the magazine. And I could see in the magazine there was beautiful art, but it wasn't displayed anywhere. So I came up with the idea of collaborating, and Kama was all in, to have a combination of student art, the student poetry, and RAIN also has a lot of community people, right. You know, involved in it. So I went around to artists that I really resonated with, and I asked them, to about 20 people, to create a piece on either fear or courage. You can't really get to courage unless you really stand up and work with fear and embrace it. And so some of them said they were also poets, and they wrote a poem about their art piece. But other times, I just found a poet, like through Rick's open mic, where the art piece spoke to them. So on one wall, the art piece that inspired the poetry are side by side.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I've seen that word and image, they call it. And sometimes it's actually distance artists.
Yes.
You mm-hmm. do the poem. You switch back and forth.
Right. Some of these artists will just meet the poet that wrote about their work uh-huh. or were inspired by it tomorrow night at the open house.
Oh, lovely. Lovely. And again, this is at the Astoria Visual Arts, which is 959 Commercial, folks. If you haven't been around for a while, the AVA moved to a large space, and it is full of art. So, Kama, I'm sure you were all in, because you are open to all kinds of interesting things, including having your students perform at Winecraft and all kinds of good things.
Absolutely.
How is it integrated? And is the theme of RAIN also courage?
It is, which is how we decided to go with this collaborative work with courage. And, you know, we've been really lucky, not only in the collaboration, we've had an incredible outpouring of support from the community. Mm. We've also had a lot of artists who have been writing in this time period that we're in right now, and they are responding to fear. They are responding with courage. And so it was just sort of serendipitous. Perfect. That we had that, and the ability mm-hmm. to collaborate with local artists has inspired more work into RAIN. This mm-hmm. is going to be a record-breaking magazine. It's the biggest one we've made, because our submissions were through the roof, and we just couldn't say no.
Wow.
They're incredible. This will be a beautiful show.
Well, RAIN magazine, for folks who aren't familiar with it, can you just say a word or two about how old it is?
Absolutely. This is our 56th edition. So unbelievable in terms of how long this has been going on since the 60s. I think there have been 2 years that no RAIN magazine was produced, COVID and one other year that mm-hmm. there were extreme budget cuts. Other than that, there's been a magazine produced from that college every year for 56 years. And every year it's a class. It's a 10-week course taught during the winter term by an instructor. And I'm the lucky one who gets to do that now. And I mean lucky with no hint of sarcasm. It's such a gift.
Oh, yeah.
Because we partner with the community. We partner with these incredible artists who are vulnerable and share their work with us, artists, of course, of all genres. Mm-hmm. And these students get to engage in this art in a way that maybe they hadn't before, because not all of these students are creative writers. They're not all painters. They come to learn to put it together.
Okay, now, I'm curious mm-hmm. how this worked, because how did someone get their art into the show and hence into the magazine? did you two both work with them, or did V, did you? How did this happen? Because I thought the students often jury the work that goes into RAIN. So
yes, we invited any student who has either a poem or an art piece in RAIN to be on the wall. So there's one wall that nice. Says RAIN Magazine, Clatsop Community College, as well as their professor in painting, Kristen Schock. So there's two walls, but that interact. On the Astoria Visual Arts wall, they're both curated in the sense they're by invitation. So I invited the artist, then I showed the artwork to poets, and they could say which one spoke to them.
Right.
But one of the things I like that is so Astoria and so welcoming is, like, there are some student paintings there that they have priced at $20. They're just so excited to be in a downtown gallery.
Yeah.
And then there are people there who are represented by very high-end fine arts galleries all up and down the coast. And I find that's very Astoria.
I love it. Yeah. Mixing the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's real community spirit. So did the students get to curate? How did that work?
They did.
Because that's part of their classroom.
It sure is. Yeah. And that was such an interesting thing, Carol, because we are tasked in 10 weeks with producing this magazine.
Crazy.
And we are learning on the fly every term how to do this magazine, because it's very rare that we get some overlap. And if we do, it's only students who are taking the class for a second term. And they, you know, the muscle memory of putting things together is short when you have a year off in between. And then this year we got live experience with what it takes to put on a show. And let me say, I underestimated the work that AVA and other galleries do to make everything happen. So we relied heavily on V and her team, and what we did on our end was make sure that we communicated through letters and correspondence with everyone who participated and had work, and then printed the poetry that you'll see, and the students got to pick that. So that was really special.
And I also like, in terms of what you were saying, V, about the students' first time and the highly professional, is that they mix, because I think it brings fresh feelings and excitement to some of the older ones. And for the young ones to see, whoa, do you see the price on that thing? Do you mean that if I keep making art someday, I might actually be a professional artist? So why fear and courage? Yes, in this day. What does it mean to you personally?
I want to go back to you noticing that there's two titles. One is that the artists and writers have tapped into their fear and use creativity, which is one of the things that helps manage fear, is making it into something beautiful. And so that there's that, but there's an invitation. And what I really hope some people do is not just say, oh, there's a pretty picture, goodbye, but pause to say, how can their fear not be something to avoid? I have a master's in counseling, not to go scroll on your phone or, you know, spend endless hours talking about how bad things are. So to use that bump in adrenaline to say, that's poising me for action. That's an alarm bell to pay attention here. And so I'm very interested in how fear, instead of getting under the covers, can catapult you to say, this needs my attention. How do I move into courage?
Nice. And I'm feeling that, again, this community is doing a good job on it. Speaking of which, folks, pay attention to the announcements on KMUN, including INCO's gatherings, and please put March 28th on your calendar. It's a national, actually international day for us to stand up for each other. So anything else that you guys want to tell us about the process, the feelings maybe that it evoked for some of your other people, for some of the students, because some of them are not young, but some of them are.
Yeah, I do want to say one of the things that we talked about in our classroom setting is the idea of essential questions, and that essential questions are these things that we ask ourselves many times throughout our life. What brings me courage? What do I rely on when things are hard? And how we answer it changes depending on where we're at in our lives. And so my hope is that my students were able to articulate that on their own and start to tap into, like V said, that part of them that maybe no one has intentionally asked them, or they haven't had to reconcile that yet. And so when we do something like we're about to do with this show, we are inviting the community to have that moment as well. So I really love what you said, V. It's a question we all need to be asking ourselves right now. Like, where do we dig deep? What do we find when resources are scarce? So
it's a great collaboration. It's a wonderful concept. Thank you so much. Yeah.
So we'd like to invite you to our two events to hear more about this. The first one is tomorrow night, March 14th, and at 4:30 we'll be gathering at Astoria Visual Arts to meet the artists and the poets. At 5 o'clock you'll get a sampling of both student poets reading some from the community, everything from the personal to political to facing cancer to facing threats to democracy. So it's from 4:30 to 6:30 at the end of Art Walk. We really hope to see you there. We hope you feel your fear and find your courage.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. And yes, as V mentioned, she is a trained and maybe retired, I don't know, but practicing counselor too, which I think it enhances. Okay. Anything else?
No, I would just say that to wrap things up, we are still hosting the RAIN magazine launch party April 10th.
Yes.
And that's going to be 5 to 8 p.m. We are delighted to invite everybody back for the poets and prose authors to read from this new edition of Courage.
And where will that be?
And that's going to be at Toller Hall on campus at Clatsop Community College.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Okay.
5 to 8 p.m. on April 10th.
April 10th.
A Friday.
And they often have treats, too.
Always
I should
have
just
treats.
Tell you, folks.
Absolutely.
It's a terrific, beautiful magazine. Check it out. Okay, I do want to give a shout out to Bibi, who is one of the artists in your show, and also mention tomorrow is Art Walk. So galleries all over Astoria, that's Astoria Art Walk. Everybody else has their own dates. And be sure to get around. Imogen, I got to see Forged, Found, and Cast. And it's a wonderful first-time metal show. No Metallica, as far as I know, but beautiful work. Thank you so much, V. Lind and Kama O'Connor.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Stay tuned. Remember, folks, a week from today, Pledge Drive. And remember also, any donation makes you a member. The more members, the better. And also that... we, obviously, who volunteer here, believe in this station, and I think you do, too. So do turn up next week. Here's a piece of music from Mary Coughlin. Live in Galway is the album, The Magdalene Laundry.
Scrubbing this washboard ever since the fella started in after me. My mother, poor soul, didn't know what to do. The canon said, child, there's a place for you. And I'm serving my time at the Magdalene Laundry. I'm towing the line at the Magdalene Laundry. There's girls from the country, girls from the town, their bony white elbows going up and down. The Reverend Mother, as she glides through the place, a tight little smile on the side of her face. She's running the show at the Magdalene Laundry. She's got no place to go but the Magdalene Laundry. Whoa! Scrubbing long johns for the holy joes, and we know where they've been when they're not saving souls. But the red wine spilt, the smooth hand pours, we're squeezing it out at the Magdalene Laundry. We're scrubbing it out at the Magdalene Laundry. Whoa!
Mary Coughlin, Magdalene Laundry. It's a powerful, powerful song. You can learn more about it. But right now, I've got a couple of, well, three notables, but two of them, I'm not sure how to speak about them or what to call them even. However, I'll tell you, they're interestingly dressed. They look beautiful. I think it becomes you both. Okay. Now, what am I talking about? Mick Alderman is dressed in a gray shirt, and he looks like himself, which is not always the case in the theater that he does. So I'm going to ask Mick to take the mic and tell us why. I'll just give them a hint. The Coaster Theater is producing a play called Drinking Habits. Now, remember the word habits, okay? And think about it. Mick, welcome. And what in heaven's name is happening at the Coaster Theater? Mick is the director, I should say.
Drinking Habits is a farce about a convent of nuns, two of whom are making and selling wine in order to fund the convent. The problem is the Mother Superior thinks alcohol is the devil, and so they're having to do it behind her back.
God forbid. Oops.
And it's further complicated by the fact that a couple of reporters show up trying to find out who it is who's making this wine.
Oh.
And so they're sneaking around pretending to belong there, trying to get a scoop.
So, okay. Let me move on to the next person. Maybe I'll get an understanding of how this works. I have no idea what your theater name is, but I do know your street name. Do you want to introduce yourself by your theater name?
I am Sister Augusta.
Sister Augusta, a.k.a. a voice that you have heard on KMUN many, many times. And may I tell everybody, it's
yes.
Danielle Tanker. Tinker. Tanker. See, I'm getting in the mood of the drinking.
It's on me.
And Sister Augusta. So how do I know who's a real nun and who's a reporter nun?
Well, I suppose you could come see the show and pretty much be able to tell very quickly.
I see. Do the reporters wear habits too?
They do, but you meet them as in their street clothes first.
I see. So. Okay, so we will find.
Yes.
And I must say, Sister Augusta has this great big black cross on as well. Did somebody make that for them?
We all have them.
Oh, yes. I see.
Sister Philomena forgot hers at the convent.
I see. Sister Philomena, thank you.
I'll be saying rosaries tonight.
Yes, you will, won't you? Now, Sister Philomena is new to me. Well, so is Sister Augusta, but Danielle is not. Maureen Adronis?
Andronis.
Andronis. Okay. Okay, good. Sounds Greek.
It is.
It is. Okay. But you're... are you Irish in this? Is this an Irish? Who wrote this play?
A gentleman named Tom Smith. We do not know where he is from.
Tom Smith, that doesn't sound real.
No, it doesn't.
He's making sure not to be ethnic in that one. Maureen. I mean, excuse me, Sister Philomena.
Yes.
What is that? Does Philomena mean something?
There was a saint, Philomena.
There was. Okay. Are you a theater person?
I am.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I started out in theater and then went and changed to film, television commercial, and print work. And then when I moved to the beach last year, I returned to the stage.
Okay. That's why I've never seen you, because you are... relatively new.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you done some theater at the Coaster before?
I was in the Christmas play, A Carol for Tiny Tim.
Oh, yes.
I was Mrs. Cratchit and the flamboyant banker.
You went from being a flamboyant banker to a habited nun.
Oh, yes.
That's good.
A little bit ditzy, too.
Oh, you're the ditzy one. How many nuns are you dealing with, Mick, in this play? Sisters, I should say. I don't know. What do you call it? Do people say nuns anymore?
Why not?
Okay, I don't
know. I call them nuns.
There you go.
They're,
nuns, that's right.
Well, Sister Augusta and Sister Philomena are the two resident nuns, along with the Mother Superior. And then there is another nun who's come to join them, who has a secret that I won't reveal. So that makes four. And then the reporters show up, and they dress as nuns.
Oh,
and so,
So, what's going on at the Coaster Theater in terms of nuns? Nonsense, and there seems to be a whole bunch of... Is it a popular theme?
I can't speak for the Coaster.
Okay.
They selected, their committee selected this show, when they're putting their season together, they offer scripts to directors, and this was one that I selected because the last three shows I've done in a row have been pretty dark, and this has been a much, much
good
needed
Yeah.
bit of cotton candy after
right.
all the...
Right. I agree. Some a little lighthearted breathing. Does it feel that way to you as well, Sister Augusta? And
yes and no. I mean, it's obviously very lighthearted, but I was trying to make lemonade out of the current situation at 10:15, and so it occurred to me that I might have an opportunity to be on stage. So I ran out and auditioned.
Okay, so now you know why that name, Danielle Tinker, is so familiar. Danielle is the artistic, executive, everything else, director at the 10:15 Theater in Astoria. And as some of you may know, the Oddfellow Building took a big hit in a storm, so the theater is being repaired.
Repairs are in progress.
Are they? Good. Good.
Very excited.
And, and the rest of the building, other parts of the building as well, was a pretty hard hit. So, but the show will go on. I think that was brilliant of you. jump on the stage, because you don't get time to do that anymore.
Not very often.
I think the last thing I remember of you was Sugar.
Yeah.
And that was an amazing play, too. And what about you, Sister Philomena, Maureen Andronis?
What about me?
What about you? What inspired you to try out for a part as a nun?
Oh,
for example.
I read the script and laughed at page 2.
Okay.
Starting in on the script, okay, and laughed throughout the entire script. Oh. And even after all this rehearsal time, we'll be in the audience looking and we're still laughing.
Oh,
even
my.
After seeing it. Oh. Oh. 90 times.
That sounds like good medicine, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. You said you did theater. Now you're coming back to theater. How does that feel, the contrast between theater and commercials and film and stuff like that?
Theater takes a long time. It's like a 3-month commitment. And when you're filming, it's a 1-day, 2-day job. So you, like, build a family. You're there five nights a week. It's a part-time job. You see the same faces. You spend more time with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they become a family.
Just between you and me, what do you think about this group of local thespians in Clatsop County?
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. There's a lot of talent.
Yeah, yeah.
They are so good.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Mick, did you say you have any males in the cast?
Yes, there are 3 men. One is the priest, basically in charge of the convent. One is the groundskeeper at the convent. And the third is one of the reporters.
That's what I figured when we knew right away that it wasn't quite the nun we were looking for. Well, it is. It's also kind of interesting because there was a crossover, yet another crossover, with my first guests, Susie Brown, with Outside Mullingar, and they will be coming to the Coaster while you guys are still running, because your play goes all the way through April 18th, mm-hmm. And it's weekends. So Coaster Theater, that's R-E, will get you to the site, and you can buy your tickets online, and you can often just go there, but look it up. And I'm sure this is going to be an absolute delightful. You know, the play doesn't open until next week. And this is the devotion of actors and theater and the arts. They are fully, not Mick, but the the sisters are both fully dressed in their habits. And it makes me want to try one on, too. Stick around. I might just do that. Okay. Anything else you'd like to tell me about being in this production or the production itself? You've already told us why people should go. I can hear that. I think it sounds like good medicine.
It's quite delightful and funny. If you're looking for a fun escape, this is definitely the show for you.
Okay. And any last words, Maureen? Maureen, first time on KMUN.
This is my first time.
But you've been on radio before.
I have never been on radio
before. Oh, my God.
Before.
Folks, we have another triple virgin. And with that, right. I need to close the show. Thank you so much for being here. Danielle Tinker, Maureen Andronis, and director Mick Alderman. Drinking Habits at the Coaster Theater and Beyond. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, KMUN.org.
Support for KMUN programming comes in part from the historic Liberty Theater in Astoria. From live shows to special events, it happens at the Liberty. For more information, visit libertyastoria.org.